The captain had merely come to watch the final act of this drama. He himself did not have to lift a finger.
"Show me," he said.
The shadowy shape of a bird spread its wings and rose into the air near him. Darkness engulfed the bridge. Dim lights danced briefly in the black eyes of the bird as, deep in its instructional address space, bracket after bracket was finally closing. If clauses were finally ending, repeat loops halting, recursive functions calling themselves for the last few times. A brilliant vision lit up in the darkness, a watery blue and green vision, a tube flowing through the air shaped like a chopped-up string of sausages. With a flatulent noise of satisfaction, the Vogon captain sat back to watch. Chapter 25. "Just there, number 42, shouted Ford Prefect to the taxi driver. "Right here!" The taxi lurched to a halt, and Ford and Arthur jumped out. They had stopped at quite a number of cash dispensers on the way, and Ford chucked a fistful of money through the window at the driver. The entrance to the club was dark, smart, and severe. Only the smallest little plaque bore its name. Members knew where it was, and if you weren't a member, then knowing where it was wasn't any help to you. Ford Prefect was not a member of Stavros, though he had once been to Stavros' other club in New York. He had a very simple method of dealing with establishments of which he was not a member. He simply swept in as soon as the door was opened, pointed back at Arthur, and said, "It's okay, he's with me." He bounded down the dark, glossy stairs, feeling very fruity in his new shoes. They were suede, and they were blue, and he was very pleased that in spite of everything else going on, he had been sharp-eyed enough to spot them in a shop window with a speeding taxi.
"I thought I told you not to come here."
"Oh, what?" said Ford. A thin, ill-looking man, wearing something baggy and Italian, was walking up the stairs past them, lighting a cigarette, and had stopped suddenly.
"Not you," he said, "him."
He looked straight at Arthur, then seemed to become a little confused.
Excuse me, he said, "I think I must have mistaken you for someone else."
He started on up the stairs again, but almost immediately turned round once more, even more puzzled. He stared at Arthur.
"Now what?" said Ford.
"What did you say?"
"I said, now what?" repeated Ford irritably.
"Yes, I think so," said the man, and swayed slightly, and dropped the book of matches he'd been carrying. His mouth moved weakly, then he put his hand to his forehead.
Excuse me, he said, I'm trying desperately to remember which drug I've just taken. It must be one of those which means you can't remember."
He shook his head and turned away again, and went up towards the men's room. "Come on," said Ford. He hurried on downstairs, with Arthur following nervously in his wake. The encounter had shaken him badly, and he didn't know why. He didn't like places like this. For all of the dreams of earth and home he had had for years, he now badly missed his hut on Lamuella with his knives and his sandwiches. He even missed old Thrashbark.
"Arthur!"
It was the most astounding effect. His name was being shouted in stereo. He twisted to look one way. Up the stairs behind him, he saw Trillian hurrying down towards him in her wonderfully rumpled rimplon. She was looking suddenly aghast. He twisted the other way to see what she was looking suddenly aghast at. At the bottom of the stairs was Trillian wearing... No, this was Tricia. Tricia that he had just seen hysterical with confusion on television. And behind her was Random, looking more wild-eyed than ever. Behind her in the recesses of the smart, dimly lit club, the other clientele of the evening formed a frozen tableau, staring anxiously up at the confrontation on the stairs. For a few seconds, everyone stood stock still. Only the music from behind the bar didn't know to stop throbbing. "The gun she is holding," said Ford quietly, nodding slightly towards Random, "is a Wabanata 3. It was in the ship she stole from me. It's quite dangerous, in fact. Just don't move for a moment. Let's everybody just stay calm and find out what's upsetting her."
"Where do I fit?"
screamed Random suddenly. The hand holding the gun was trembling fiercely. Her other hand delved into her pocket and pulled out the remains of Arthur's watch. She shook it at them.
"I thought I would fit here," she cried, "on the world that made me. But it turns out that even my mother doesn't know who I am."
She flung the watch violently aside, and it smashed into the glasses behind the bar, scattering its innards.
Everyone was very quiet for a moment or two longer.
"Random," said Trillian quietly from up on the stairs.
"Shut up!" shouted Random. "You abandoned me!"
"Random, it is very important that you listen to me. I arrived and the war had suddenly ceased to happen. There was a time anomaly and—"
"Listen, please listen!"
"A reconnaissance battleship had failed to turn up. The rest of the fleet was scattered in some farcical disarray. It's happening all the time now."
"I don't care! I don't want to hear about your bloody job!" shouted Random. "I want a home! I want to fit somewhere!"